Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 207, Instant Karma, comes your way now.
This, an episode written by Steve Harper, directed by the famous Marco Siega. Pete, in the ratings, a 0.6 rating with 6.14 million viewers. This ties a series low for ratings and is the series low for live viewers.
Kind of baffling, given that they had the earlier start last night, the thriller that was the my Miami Dolphins and the Indianapolis Colts, and somehow my Dolphins found a way to win it when we don't want them to win, so we can get the number one draft pick. Led to an earlier start time, 8:12 in the New York, New Jersey area. Like I said, a little puzzling as to why those numbers down for what was a pretty solid overall episode.
Equally puzzling was that this was the episode that they chose to have cast members live tweeting during, while it wasn't airing at 8 o'clock in New York. It did start to air at 8 o'clock in other parts. So you kind of couldn't even follow along their live tweet, because it would be like, oh man, hope she's okay. And you're still 10 minutes away from the secretary ending up not okay. Things of that sort.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that CBS chooses to air 60 Minutes and then this, and how they get backed up as a result of football and the uncertain start times for we the viewers and us the podcasters, only seems to complicate things.
Well, Pete, let's look ahead to the schedule here. The show still only scheduled through November. I think we're widely anticipating at least the first two Sundays of December and getting some spots there for the show. I will add that just in the last couple hours, the CBS winter schedule came out. Most of that schedule was dedicated towards, you know, here's when NCIS New Orleans is going to move time slots, or here's when Survivor Season 40 will debut. Mentioned on the schedule, though, I think if only as a quote-unquote placeholder for, I believe, the middle of February, was A God Friend and Me at 8 o'clock. I assume that we can expect episodes hither and yon, but certainly, if nothing else, Pete, I know that it's a bit gloom and doom in terms of the ratings, but CBS looking as far as February for God Friend and Me being on the schedule.
And again, they've been on solid ground. The Cancel Bear had them most recently as likely to be renewed. I have not checked that since, but I can't imagine it's suddenly backtracked.
Indeed, Pete, the Cancel Bear's latest weighing in still has God Friend and Me at 4 out of 5 bears, and still kind of, you know, above the spot to worry. So always looking in the backwards, Cancel Bear is, and, you know, it a good backward picture.
This God Friend and Me, just another part in our schedule of all the things we're doing this week in particular, Matt.
Yes, we got God Friend and Me today. Then tomorrow is the debut and the podcast for Mandalorian 101. Wednesday is Watchmen Wednesday, discussing this week's episode of that series. Thursday, there's a short trek that's going to drop, and we will podcast that. Pete, Friday, we're only going to watch Mandalorian 102 ahead of podcasting it on its normal spot for Star Wars Saturdays.
And then we're back for God Friend and Me and Watchmen again on Sunday. But this is what it is, man. The life of a podcaster of multiple shows all in season. I mean, Sweeps being what it was and what it still is now. I mean, that's why we're not having breaks for God Friend and Me. Thank goodness in November. Sure, there'll be some breaths, you know, towards the holidays, maybe even before. Get a week in there in December.
Pete, I wouldn't want it any other way.
Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Audrey recaps that we're in Rakesh's office to see the code in the painting. It's a message meant for Miles. Turns out the computer used on the painting was hacked. But who's the message meant for? And can't Rakesh tech the tech to break the code? Team up time. The next day, Ali talks about her graduate work until the story moves to Arthur. He's confident Trish will see things his way soon.
Later, Miles and Kara are shopping and smooching, and they found a winning lotto ticket for Samir Patel. Patel's law firm is around the corner, but they'll head to his home. Samir answers the door and doesn't want the $1 million winning ticket. Surprise! At College University, Allie's told that her thesis isn't very good. It's too personal and needs a major do-over. Surprise!
Why did Samir not cash that ticket a year ago? It just so happens his lady love, Mira Gupta, passed away. Is grief the issue? Miles hops over to Allie's bar. Maybe she won't finish her thesis after all? Miles tells her she can do it. Over at Catapult, Kara's hard at work and talking with gal pal Parker about her relationship with Miles. Back at Samir's law office, Judy, the expositional secretary, dishes the dirt about Samir's pro bono work, hint, hint, in the last year. The Patel brothers have a loud fight about Samir's head not being in the game, and Miles and Kara step into his office. Why won't he take the money? The ticket is the reason Mira's dead.
It's all about karma, spiritual cause and effect. He had found the ticket, and Mira thought that it was karmic stealing. He was going to cash it, and she was fatally hit by a cab. He's tried to return the ticket to the universe, but now it's come back. Can't they all work to find the original owner? Hey, Rakesh can help, and he's a believer in karma and Hinduism and not always teching the tech. If the purchaser used a debit card, Rakesh can come to the rescue.
At Ali's church, she's seeking advice from Pastor Olivia. Perhaps if she comes tonight, she'll be able to connect to God herself. In Rakesh's office, they're still trying to find the lotto ticket purchaser, and Audrey Grinnell arrives. She just parked anywhere, and they still can't get into the key code. But good news, they have the lotto ticket purchaser. It's Whitson, but he doesn't play the lotto. And Samir's missed a court date, and the firm's being shut down. It's bad karma.
Judy tells Samir he needs to make peace and keep his family close. Samir info shares with his brother Jay. So can't the ticket save the family business? He will, so Miles will get it in return, but he may have just let it expire. Arthur arrives and gets a lesson in dealing with problems head on. Rakesh and Kara get an inspiration. Check NYPD dash cams and find the original buyer. Everyone meets up. The purchaser is Judy, the secretary. They race to her apartment, but she's unresponsive and on the floor. Call 911.
After an agonizing act break, our hero is at the hospital, and Judy, who had an aneurysm, is going to pull through. But the ticket has expired. Is all the karma truly gone? Miles helps Samir realize where Mira's life was lost, Judy's was saved. Jay has a change of heart, and they will find the way forward together.
Knock, knock, Miles. It's Kara with a gift, and she says those three little words. At Identity Seal, Audrey stops by on her way out of town. If you're ever in France again, look me up. Ding! The God account liked Judy's photo of her hospital bracelet's new lucky numbers, the 11 digits which unlock the path, revealing an image of a recognizable house in New Jersey. The first location the God account ever sent them.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, I must confess, amidst all the twists and turns, the adventures, the love, the difficulties, etc., of the first season, I had kind of forgotten that this first house that they went to, this location kind of had fallen by the wayside. I guess, you know, microphone to my head, I would have said, oh, well, it was the pilot episode, and, you know, they didn't necessarily have a fully intricately spelled out plan at that point. But the minute that photo was decoded, I immediately recognized the porch, which, you know, Pete, we're going on over a year since we saw that episode. So I guess good recognition there. Good use of the location.
More than a year at this point. I mean, two things occurred to me. Number one, like you, I'm like, that's the house from the first episode. And sure enough, it is. I mean, nondescript enough, but recognizable in its own way. And secondly, Matt, the other callback, you don't even realize, a little bit of a Fibonacci spiral thing happening here, closing in upon itself.
In what way?
Well, that we're returning to this.
Ah, yes, indeed. Pete, it gave me goosebumps in a way that I don't know I've gotten this season, and that's not necessarily a slam against the other episodes. Obviously, the first four, a bit of a conclusion for the Paris stuff and whatnot. But I just I like this notion of the power of the account. I like being in this kind of gray area of, is it God? Is it the machine? All of that is an area where I think the show is really comfortable, and it just felt like a great ending.
The thing that struck me back then and stays with me now about the pilot, the bit in the house tonally did not seem to fit with the rest of the episode. They were in the dark. There was flashlight stuff. It stood out in a very different way from everything else that went on. And I wonder how much in returning to this that might potentially be played upon.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the returning, because I know there's been a little grumbling online. Oh, we kind of keep circling back to these old characters. I certainly, you know, it was really great to see the return of Ray and some of the characters from previous episodes, where, you know, it's a reminder not just of, you know, it's a small world, that kind of thing, but also, you know, as packed as New York is, it's not a, you know, it is a small enough world to be like, oh, hey, thanks for the Facebook invite for your picnic. Now I'm here. It's not that impossible to get to Central Park for the picnic. Similarly, the fact that now there's at least the return of this location, I don't know. It kind of fills me with a sense of warmth that they are living in this connected world, and it's not just constantly the new mission of the week, the new mission of the week.
Yeah, and I think peppering in the right places, of course, previous friend suggestions, people that they've connected with, makes perfect sense, even in a massive city like New York. What with, you mentioned, the interconnectivity of Facebook, people, you know, getting invites, seeing what's going on in people's lives, and, you know, bumping back into one another.
Pete, I was a bit surprised that we did not get Adam at Catapult. I fully anticipate in the next episode or two we're going to get more on that front, particularly as he might try and insert himself in between the really sweet Miles and Kara relationship. Were you surprised that we didn't get kind of a furthering of that particular storyline?
Conspicuous by his absence, I think. And, you know, it's drama 101. All right, you up the stakes between Miles and Kara and then reinsert this potential conflict there. You know, talking off mic with Matt, talking the potential of, you know, the big Catapult Christmas party and, oh, Miles arrives, but what is that giggle between Kara and Adam? Oh, the potential engagement is off.
Given how the show tends to avoid conflict between its main characters, obviously a bit of an asterisk with Arthur and Trish, it'll be interesting to see what route the show takes in that regard, particularly since we do already have a happy couple that now is, you know, not communicating and is apart. Do they go that same route so soon with Miles and Kara? I don't know. That certainly seems like the direction that narratively the show is headed in.
Well, you got to build them up to be able to break them down and then make it stronger. I was kind of surprised that Trish didn't return in this episode, that there was no glimpse of her whatsoever. We get Arthur making the phone call. We don't know if she's on the other end or whether this is a voicemail being left. I think you've got to start to wonder a little bit. Will she take him back? Can this be repaired? Is this necessarily the path, the way forward for him? Same time, I think there's a little bit of a parallel between he and Allie.
Yes, both needing to make these important life-changing decisions. I think in Arthur's case, he would say he has made that decision, you know, on account of returning to the bishopship. That would also show the fact that he's forgetting that there's also another important life decision in terms of his relationship with Trish. But yeah, it was nice to see Allie getting more screen time, something that was believable. I know that we've taken the show to task a little bit for, you know, like, hey, Allie, I'll have a beer. Anyway, got to go talk to Dad. Goodbye. And we're not getting that in this episode. It's really some good character stuff and some good reflection.
I think the show has had some of its best episodes when they fully involve Allie. And I think Javicia Lesi shows you in this episode, she's far capable of more. I think it's an organic decision. Whereas there may have been a plan early on, all right, we're going to have the sister character who's going to get her degree in social work. That can be potentially be helpful. But I think they've also run into story walls where how do we organically include her? Oh, it seems to be the same way every time at the bar. If you get her to have a foot in this other world, the parallel that she has obviously with her father, drawing on the experience there, and the ability to use that type of social work in that vocation, I think it really brings together all worlds and enhances the character further.
Indeed, just as the show leans perhaps heavily on Rakesh to tech the tech in that regard, I think that once she officially has her degree, certainly if not before that, they'll be able to take stories to a place where, you know, oh, I recognize this as PTSD. I recognize this as, you know, fear of dogs or, you know, whatever it might be. We'll kind of get some more of that human insight that she'll be able to provide.
Well, a couple things. You mentioned Rakesh there. First off, the idea of debit card transactions for lotto tickets and tracking it that way, that felt just a little hokey and over convenient.
Well, kind of as did, hey, let's just use the NYPD car dash cam footage. I mean, A, do they really keep that stuff from a year ago? Okay, you want to tell me they do. B, how's he do it? I mean, there's more people in the NYPD than the FBI. I have to assume it's not as pedestrian as, oh yeah, sure, I'll hack her Gmail, which I still kind of have fundamental questions about. But I think that if you want to say Rakesh is so good he can get into people's emails, I kind of buy that. You want to say Rakesh can hack the NYPD? I buy that a whole lot less. The show paints them with the same brush.
Is this leading towards a Rakesh friend suggestion episode where he's finally busted for hacking into all these things and faces big consequences?
This is going to be the second half of this season. It's going to be like, oh, Samir Patel is the friend request. That's weird. I guess we'll go over there and see him. Hey, Samir. Hey, Audrey, the expositional secretary. At which point she will say,
Judy.
Hey, Judy, the expositional secretary. And she'll say, oh my goodness, Miles, I'm so glad that you're here. You won't believe it. Rakesh just called from Rikers Island. He's been charged with 6 counts of data incursion by the NYPD, and he's being held there. He needs
identity
a lawyer.
Identity seal? More like identity steal.
Pete, listen, I think this is a delightful, let's see, 214 episode, deal with some of the aftermath in 215, and have Judy and Samir return maybe in 217, just as like in passing. Hey, glad to hear you're better, Rakesh. Sorry about the tracking bracelet, you know. I'm telling you.
Well,
Steven, Brian, call us. We have ideas.
This could potentially work with the other Rakesh information in this episode. Jaya going out on a Facebook official date with someone not named Rakesh. This is just what my parents do. You shouldn't be worried. Oh, he worried.
Pete, I want Arthur and Trish to be happy. I want Rakesh and Jaya to be happy. I want Miles and Kara to continue to be happy. Here's the problem, Pete. They're all well-realized characters, but they're characters in a network drama, and all three of those romances are subject to getting worse before they get better.
Got to have that conflict. It is the engine that drives the car. Speaking of which, Matt, Audrey Grinnell connecting with her further this episode. Oh, we've almost tied it up, but you're going to head back to, France. The thing about the message that she saw in it and how it didn't really matter, and a connection to a house in Marseille. And then who's hacked this painting? I don't know, man. I'm feeling Priya again.
Who hacks the hackers, Pete? That's the question here. Does the hack the hackers? Is it Priya? Is it the account has now become, it's now had its awakening day? What's it called in Terminator? I know there's Judgment Day, but what's the day where...
It's Judgment Day.
Is it Judgment Day? Well, Pete, maybe that's where we're headed. Maybe season three, the post-apocalyptic New York. I kid, of course. I like your prediction of Priya. I think, too, I don't want to sound like I'm overly teasing the show. I'm okay, as I said earlier, I'm okay with them circling back to prior characters. I think that obviously shows a willingness to do just that. Therefore, could it circle back to Priya? Let's bring back Parminder Nagra ASAP. Pete, what theories do you have?
Well, Kara talked about a statistic. She said the average person spends $200 a year on lottery tickets. I found out I am decidedly under average.
I saw you tweet about that, or maybe you had texted about it. I don't remember. But I was like, oh, the show clearly did not do its due diligence. And what I was able to quickly find from like the first website I went to was the top four states are all well in excess of an average of $200 a person. Massachusetts being like $450. Georgia is not far behind. New Jersey is third or fourth place at like $300. Pete, I can tell you I've chipped in to like, hey, it's the mega billions and at work and he wants to put in $5 a person, $10 a person. Yuck, yuck, you never know. Like, I've chipped in for that. I've never physically bought a lottery ticket. I kind of wouldn't even know what to do. I guess I would have to refer to this episode to be like, I guess they randomly do the numbers, or do I do the numbers from Lost, or like, what do I do? So yeah, you and I both, I guess, terribly boring and under the average.
And if we're holding everybody else down, what the heck are all these other people spending on lottery tickets? Let us know how much you spend on lottery tickets. I think maybe I spend at most like $40 at most. And that's chasing, big paydays.
What else is on your radar?
Joy, Matt. Three episodes, joyless. Far longer than I figured we would go without Joy. There better be a resolution of that case and a return pretty soon.
I agree. I certainly feel like even with willful suspension of disbelief, activated or non-activated or whatever, the way she left it definitely as permanent as it was scripted. I certainly felt like, no, she's joined the team and she'll be back and stuff. And I would, Pete, have taken some of my lottery money that I don't spend, and I would have put it on the bet that she would be back by the third episode of absence, if you will.
I mean, she's the new Jaya. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, lots of tweets for this episode. First one from James is at Big Killin. Speaking about the episode, it was another fun and wholesome adventure. Glad to hear those three little words. And now they're Jersey bound.
Yes, bringing them back to the home state of Fantastic Geek.
Next tweet from Andre Yeager. That's at Dr. Polo 1983. I love how every episode always goes full circle. They never leave a loop open for long. Great writing. Love this show. Pete, also a tweet from JT Atkins. JTA is me. He says, I think I'm way behind and need to get caught up. Yeah, get caught up when you can, JT. We're having fun with God friend of me.
No time like the present.
The last tweet from my pal and yours, Peter, that's at Tweet Scala, who says, despite the delay here in New York, it's a really good episode so far.
It is. And again, you know, is it their best of the year? It's not. I think that distinction easily falls to the Joy-centric episode before she left a couple weeks ago. But, you know, really, really solid outing, moves everything forward. We leave it on a heck of a high with this tantalizing mystery about this house in the painting.
Well, Pete, helping keep our house going, helping keep the roof on, the lights glowing, it's the people who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. All it takes is $1 a month to get you in that door, a mere quarter a week for the God Friend of Me podcast, the Watchmen podcast by Fantastic Geek, the Mandalorian podcast by Fantastic Geek, what with that Disney Plus show just hours away from debuting, all of our Star Trek content, all of our Marvel content, all there for you. So grateful, particularly at this time of year when the bills start to come due, to be able to take care of those thanks to our helpers.
Yes, they keep us sustainable. They keep that back catalog up. They keep it possible for us to grow the audience. And as you say, Pete, particularly this time of year, our big thanks. All sorts of goodies on the Patreon website. But Pete, there's one that's always free that's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, 10,817 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
As mentioned earlier, if you're listening to us in the Pop Culture Podcast feed, between now and the next God Friend of Me, we got Watchmen, we got Mandalorian, we got Star Trek Short Trek, we got more Mandalorian. But if you're here just for the God Friend of Me stuff, Pete will be there next Monday as we talk the next episode of 4 Miles and the Gang. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
God loves you more in a moment than anyone could in a lifetime.